Romans chapter 1. Let me read for you from verse 16 to verse 22. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 22. It says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Another verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Familiar verse. I trust we will memorize this verse. It says here, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." A couple of weeks ago, someone introduced me to this book. And it is a book that is written by Bart Ehrmond. And this book is entitled God's Problem. God's Problem. Very eye-catching cover. And a title that draws our attention. God's problem. Well, I didn't know God had a problem. Did you? It's God's problem. Bart Ehrmond says God has a problem. And what is God's problem? Well, the problem is with the Bible, with His Word, and with Him. And he says here in the subtitle, "How the Bible fails to answer our most important question, why we suffer." Right? So God's problem is the problem of suffering in this world. How can an all-powerful and loving God allow suffering in this life and in this world? Where is He? What is he doing about it? And Bart Ehrmond, who is he? Well, he's a well-credentialed scholar, a very learned man. And he is a professor of the Christian religion, not an ordinary professor, he's a distinguished professor, professor with a title, teaching at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And he has gone through a whole lot of theological studies and training. He knows the Bible inside and out. But Ehrmond has a very sad and tragic story and testimony. He was born in a Christian family, was raised by Christian parents, and he shared how as a teenager he got converted. He became born again. And not only born again, he was a fundamentalist, believing in the inerrancy and the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. And after his born-again experience, he felt that he had to commit his life to serve the Lord. And so when it came time for him to go into college, he chose to go to Moody Bible Institute, a very conservative Bible college, to study the Bible, to study theology. And there he learned that the Bible was infallible, inerrant, without any mistake. He believed that also. But later on, he went for his further studies, and this time he went to Wheaton College. Now, Wheaton College is a new evangelical school. And there, he began to doubt the scriptures, began to question the Bible, because he submitted a paper trying to defend the Bible. The Bible has no mistakes. But the professor returned his paper to him after reading it and then made a comment. Maybe, you know, in the Gospel of Mark, the author made a mistake because he was trying to defend a certain verse in the Bible. Maybe God made a mistake. Maybe the author there made a mistake. And then he began to question the Bible. Maybe, yeah, not just this mistake, many other mistakes in the Bible. Began to doubt and question. And then later on, he pursued his further studies at Princeton Theological Seminary, which is a liberal school that denies the fundamentals of the faith, that Christ was virgin-born, that there are such things as miracles, that Christ died for us on the cross, the substitutionary atonement, that Christ rose from the dead. They denied that the scriptures were absolutely and totally infallible, inerrant. They denied all the fundamentals of the faith. He went to study in this school under unregenerate and unbelieving professors, studied historical criticism and textual criticism, studied the Greek manuscripts, and end up being what? Being a liberal. Now, I don't believe in the fundamentals of the faith. I don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. And the end, what happened? It says, now I am agnostic. I am agnostic. Where is God? I don't know where he is. Is there a God? Well, I don't know. Does God exist? We cannot be sure whether God exists or not. And if God exists, he cannot be known. But one thing he's sure of, he's sure that if there is a God, and if he exists, it cannot be the God of the Bible. It cannot be the God of Christianity. He says he's sure of that. Now, that's a contradiction, isn't it? Because someone who is agnostic simply teaches and believes that God cannot be known. And if God cannot be known, and you do not know, all right, what is true and who the living and true God is, then how can you tell, all right, that Jesus Christ is not God, when in the first place you do not know what the truth is, who the living and true God is? It is a self-defeating and self-refuting position he has taken. Although he knows the Bible and theology inside out, but then when you begin to question God and deny the word of God, that's why God says, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. They became fools. So, Ehrman says, you see, this is God's problem. And I have a problem with God. I just want to read to you a couple of things that he has said in his book. Now, on page 1, in the chapter on suffering and the crisis of faith, he begins by saying this. He says, if there is an all-powerful God, right? If there is an all-powerful and loving God in this world, why is there so much excruciating pain and unspeakable suffering? The problem of suffering has haunted me for a very long time. It was what made me begin to think about religion when I was young. and it was what led me to question my faith when I was older. Ultimately, it was the reason I lost my faith, he says. And then he goes on to say on page 3, right? Let me read to you what he says. He says, "Now I came to a point where I could no longer believe. It's a very long story, but the short version is this. I realized that I could no longer reconcile the claims of faith with the facts of life. In particular, I could no longer explain how there can be a good and all-powerful God actively involved with this world, given the state of things. For many people who inhabit this planet, life is a cesspool of misery and suffering. I came to a point where I simply could not believe that there is a good and kindly disposed ruler who is in charge of it." Right? He lost his faith. He denies the existence of God. And even if God exists, it's not the God of the Bible. I can no longer believe on him. Why? Because there's such pain and misery and suffering in this world. Dear friends, does that stumble you? Not just the words of Ehrman, but the fact that there's suffering and pain and misery in this life, does that stumble you? Does that cause you to question the existence of God and the integrity and the veracity of his word? Does it? I pray not, and it should not. And what's God's answer? What's God's answer to all these things? Why is there suffering in this world and in this life? And we may go through sufferings ourselves at this present time. Right? Why? Why is there suffering in life and in this world? The Bible has the answer. And the Bible tells us, God tells us, this is not his problem. It is not God's problem. It is man's problem. Right? It is man's problem. And the Bible makes it very clear. Why is there suffering in this life? Is due to sin. Man's problem. The sin problem. The sin question. Sin with a capital S. That is the problem. Can anyone of us here deny that sin exists? Can anyone here deny the doctrine of sin or the fact of sin? The evidence of sin? I don't think anyone of us here can deny this. We know that there is wickedness and evil in this world. Why? Is it because of God? No, God is holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. But we are sinful. We have broken his commandments. We have come short of the glory and the holiness of God. The problem is ours, not God's. Sin is the problem. Sin is the answer. Why there is suffering in this world, in this life. God originally made this whole world very good. And he made man as morally sinless creatures with a freedom to choose. But God put man to the test. And God commanded man, don't eat of all the trees in the garden. In the Garden of Eden, you may freely eat, but this one tree, don't eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Unfortunately and sadly, Adam and Eve failed the test. They fell into sin. They disobeyed God's commandment, God's law. And God said, God warned them, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Spiritual death will set in, and physical death will set in. And with physical death will come what? All the sufferings that will come because of that, because of sin, because of death. And because of man's sin, the whole world, the whole creation is under a curse. It's under a curse. We know that, don't we? Pain came in. And the woman now, when she gives birth to a child, will go through labor pains, intense pain. And that's evidence of what? Evidence that what God said is true. That we are sinful. There is judgment. We are cursed. And not only we are cursed, but the whole creation is cursed together with man. And the earth that God has given to man to inhabit in, which was a paradise, which was a very beautiful place. God made it very good, but we made it very bad by our sin. And now the earth is also cursed. The earth will no longer be cooperative. The earth will no longer be as productive as it used to be. And man will have to toil very laboriously. Life will not be easy. To eke out a living, there will be a lot of stresses and pressures in life. It will be very hard. And so all this pain and misery came in because of sin. We have sinned against God. We have broken His commandments. Judgment has come. And this whole universe, this whole creation is also under the curse of sin. We are living in a sin-cursed world. And not only that, sinful people will continue to act sinfully, to do wicked things, commit evil deeds. Sinful people will do sinful things against other sinful people. And some will be culprits, some will be victims, but nonetheless, all the sufferings due to all these things that we do to one another, against one another. And all the natural disasters that are in this world are due to sin. We are living in a sin-cursed world. All the hurricanes and the cyclones, the typhoons, earthquakes, diseases, all this is due to the fact that we are living in a sin-cursed world. We are living in a bad news world. It's the world's problem. It's man's problem. Man caused it, not God. And God, being holy, being just, must judge and punish sin. And what we are going through in our life right now is only a foretaste of the eternal destruction and torment and punishment that will befall all of us if we do not confess and repent our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only a foretaste of what will happen when we are thrown into the lake of fire to suffer forever. Why does not God throw us into the lake of fire right now, into hell, in the lake of fire right now? We all deserve to be there. Well, the Bible tells us because He's long-suffering. Is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. That's why He waits. But the consequences of sin, the effects of sin, the principle of sin remain to tell us without any shadow of a doubt that we have sinned against the thrice holy God. Yes, God is all-powerful. Yes, God is loving, and He has displayed His power and His love by His only begotten Son. God Himself became man. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God, John Calvin tells us. And that's what the Bible teaches. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But those who do not believe stand condemned already. Because of what? Because of our sin, we reject the goodness of God. So God is all powerful. He has displayed His power by coming to this world, dying on the cross for our sins, then being raised from the dead. We see His power. We see His love. But then God is also holy. God is also just. And He must judge and punish sin. So we are living in such a world right now. A bad news world. Every day you read the papers, it's all bad news, bad news, bad news. Right? I hope you don't forget to read the Bible too. If you read the papers studiously, please read the Bible also as studiously, if not more, and reverently. For in the Bible, there is good news. Good news, good news, good news. Don't forget to read the Bible. You read the papers, you become very depressed. But you read the Bible, you'll be blessed. Right? Be happy. Because God tells us the way out. So what is really Ehrman's problem? Bart Ehrman. Well, his problem is because of his unbelief. Unbelief. His sinful unbelief, his rebellious unbelief. He just does not believe in what the Bible says. He says how the Bible fails to answer our most important question, why we suffer. The Bible did not fail. The Bible did not fail one bit to tell us our problem. The failure is in us, not believing in what God says in His words. That is the root problem. That is the source of Ehrman's problem, his unbelief and rebellion. Tragic condition he has found himself in. And you know, before this book that he had written, and this just published, 2008, a few months, released just a few months ago, I don't recommend that you read or buy it. I had to buy it. I burned a hole in my pocket just to buy this book, just to read what he has said. And just to warn, right, of this, because more and more people in the world will raise such a question, right? Argue against God. And maybe even to stumble you with all kinds of arguments. But you must know who God is, what the Bible says. And to such people, you must be able to evangelize, give them the good news. And of course, how to do so? Talk about sin. Yes, there's a fact of suffering, but how about sin? And no one can run away from this fact. There's sin and there's judgment. Right? And before this book, Bart Ehrman had written, you know, another book called Misquoting Jesus. Misquoting Jesus. How he lost his faith because the Bible, as he sees it, is full of mistakes, he says. Let me read to you what he says here, his unbelief, which is very tragic, a tragic testimony. But if you follow the logic of unbelief, that's how you will end up. And this is what he says in his book. All right, on page 11 of Misquoting Jesus, and this he wrote and was published in 2005. And this book became a bestseller, right? Bestseller. Because many people don't want to believe in the Bible. The Bible is not true and God is not real. God doesn't exist. Or the God of the Bible is not the true God. Then I don't have to worry about judgment to come. I can just live my life the way I want. Eat, drink and be merry. No judgment, right? At all. So people like to listen to such things so that they can sin all the more. There'll be no judgment to come. It became a bestseller. I have no doubt that this will also become a bestseller because we are living in a sin-sick world. A world that is anti-Christ, against God, proud and rebellious. It's not my problem, it's God's problem. That's why I don't believe that there's a God, right? And that Jesus Christ is God. Now, it says here, how did he deny the Bible? He's a very clever man. Right, uses his logic and his thinking. He thinks his logic is perfect and pure, but because of sin, we all know that sin has corrupted our thinking, right? Our logic, our feelings, our actions. Man is totally corrupted and depraved. We cannot trust ourselves, but he trusts in his thinking, in his intelligence, his intellect, his logic. But his logic is one of unbelief, and if you trust and you worship your own mind and your own thinking, your own logic, the logic of unbelief, it will lead you to a denial of God, right? To go against God. And this is what he says. He says, if one wants to insist that God inspired the very words of Scripture, we all believe in the inspiration of Scriptures, don't we? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. Bible is verbally and plenarily inspired, altogether inspired to the last word. And if he says, if one wants to insist that God inspired the very words of Scripture, what would be the point if we don't have the very words of Scripture? Right? He asked this question. And then he goes on to say, in some places, as we will see, we simply cannot be sure that we have reconstructed the original text accurately. It's a bit hard to know what the words of the Bible mean if we don't even know what the words are. And then he says, this became a problem. This became a problem for my view of inspiration. For I came to realize that it would have been no more difficult for God to preserve the words of Scripture than it would have been for Him to inspire them in the first place. If He wanted His people to have His words, surely He would have given them to them. The fact that we don't have the words surely must show, I reasoned, that He did not preserve them for us. And if He didn't perform that miracle, that is the miracle of preservation of the words of Scripture, there seemed to be no reason to think that He performed the earlier miracle of inspiring those words. Logical or not? Very logical. But it is the logic of what? Unbelief. Based upon what? Based upon his own corrupt imagination and thinking. And so he says, I'm no longer a fundamentalist. I don't believe that the Bible is infallible, inerrant anymore. I don't see the Bible in that way. Because when I study all these manuscripts and copies, he says, I see so many mistakes. How many mistakes? So over 400,000, he says. He's like expert, all right, a textual critic, an expert in this area. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, God says. And if God did not preserve his words, and there are mistakes in the Bible, and even words can be lost, then how can I be sure that God's words were inspired in the first place, in the beginning? God's words are true. The Bible is true. And if God did not preserve his words, then I cannot believe that he inspired his words. And if God's words are not inspired, infallible, inerrant, then how can I be sure that the Jesus Christ that is spoken of in the Scriptures is true also? Maybe it's not true. Maybe he's not God. Maybe he didn't die on the cross for our sins. Maybe he's not Savior. He didn't rise from the dead. I've lost my faith. The logic of unbelief will lead to unbelief, a rejection of God and His Word, and will lead you to eternal destruction. That's the broad way. Broad is the way, the Lord Jesus says, that leads to destruction. Many will be found in it. That's why these books are bestsellers, because many people want to believe, you see. It supports their view. And this comes from what? A very intelligent man, professor of Christian religion. And he says, and I've lost my faith, he says. He questions God, questions His Word. I like this. I buy it. Bestseller. But our publications, FEBC publications, I don't think will ever be bestsellers. Right. Narrow is the way, because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few be found in it. Doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you see, make you free. And we know the power of the gospel. That's why Paul says, Paul was a very intelligent man as well. But his intelligence initially led him to persecute the church until what? Until he humbled himself to the ground and confessed and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to him on the Damascus Road, and he believed the Scriptures. And now he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, was buried, and the third day rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. I am not ashamed of the power of Christ. For it is the power of God, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we have experienced that power in our life, haven't we? I trust we have. And God has changed our lives. And God gives us meaning in life and direction. And we are assured that we are saved, our sins are forgiven. That if the Lord were to come back today, or if the Lord were to take us home today, we know we will be with Him, not because we are good, we're sinful, but because God is good. Not because of our works, but because of God and His work. He has done all that is necessary to save us from our sins. We only need to trust in Him. And God cannot fail. Once God is all-powerful, and once He has saved us, He will save us to the very end. He cannot fail. And His words are true. He cannot break His promises. God is not a liar. He cannot break His promises. And we know this from the Bible itself. God has made many, many what? Prophecies. Predicted, you know, events of the future, hundreds, thousands of years ahead of time, and they have come to fulfillment. They have been fulfilled. We know His words are true. We see it. The logic of faith will cause you to see, you see, and will lead to life. But the logic of unbelief, as displayed by Ehrman and all those who will not submit and humble themselves before God and fear Him, it will lead to their foolishness. Their wisdom is actually foolishness when they reject the wisdom of God. The sad thing. So God's solution is this. God's solution is faith. Right? Faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 7. Right? Verse 17 tells us. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, if we want to know, if we want to understand who God is, what God is, if we want to understand the things that are happening in this world and in our life, and they may be difficult questions, the question of sin, the question of suffering, the question of origins, where did we come from, right? How did this world begin? We must go to all these questions with the spirit, with the mind and heart of faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. We must begin with faith and end with faith. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Our starting point is very important. We begin by questioning God, we'll keep on questioning God. But if we begin by humbling ourselves before God and believing God, begin with faith, then we will see the light. Our starting point is very important. Some people begin with not faith, but facts. You see all these facts, the fact of suffering. Yes, these are facts. But when you don't have the basis, the true basis for interpreting those facts, you use your mind, a false basis, a wrong basis, a corrupted basis to interpret the facts and the evidence out there, it will lead you to the wrong interpretation, wrong conclusion. Yes, there are all these facts out there, evidences. And we must make sure we have the right premise, the correct presuppositions, an uncorrupted one, you see, an infallible, inerrant premise and foundation to interpret all the facts and evidence out there. And the only thing that is pure and good is what? The Holy Scriptures that we have in our hands. And the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. What is truth? Where is truth? God's Word is truth, and it's right here. God has not only inspired His words, He has also preserved His words. And by faith we can be sure where His words are. And once we believe on His words, we have the understanding and the wisdom, then we can interpret correctly the things around us, you see, and have the right answer and not come to the wrong conclusion as Ehrman did, which is very sad and very tragic. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. And we must always And our faith is not blind faith. Our faith is based on the truth. God's word is truth. Let God be true, every man a liar, Romans 3 verse 4. So if anyone questions God's word, belittles God's word, belittles God or the Lord Jesus Christ, through all his clever arguments and so-called evidences, just say one word. Repel all these temptations with one word from the scriptures. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Trust in God, not in man. And then Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, right, which we have read. Very important verse that you must keep in mind and memorize. Hebrews 11 verse 6. For there it is said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. That he is who he is and what he is as taught and revealed in the Holy Scriptures, his word. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And seek him where? In his word. In his word. And his word will grant us the wisdom, the understanding, and and such important questions. Where did we come from? How did the world begin? Of origins, were we there in the beginning? Did we see anything happen? How did the world begin? You see, the unbelievers, in all their intelligence, can only come to the conclusion that there is no God. Everything came from a big bang. Many, many millions or billions of years ago. The whole universe began how long ago? And they keep changing their years and their dates and the length of time. Today, if you ask a scientist, the unbelieving scientist says, oh, the whole universe began about 14 or 15 billion years ago. You know, it began with 1 million and then it increased until now it is about 15 billion years ago. I think in 2 or 3 years' time, they may just add another billion years, 16, 17, keep changing. They don't know. It's all their imagination. Minds have been darkened by their sin. They think they are wise. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How do we know? Well, the Bible says, you read Genesis chapter 1, God tells us very clearly, he created all things. He created all things out of nothing. By the power of his word, in 6 literal 24-hour days, and made all things very good. And we are made special on the very last day, the height of his creation, and made very good, special creatures to have fellowship with him and to worship him. The Bible says so. And that's why in verse 3, Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we weren't there, God was there, he tells us. And faith is simply this. The Bible says it. That settles it. I believe it. I believe it. That is faith. Faith is simply taking God at his word. Taking God at his word. But the foolishness of men is such that they think they are very clever and very wise, too clever for their own good. They say, oh, where did I come from? Well, I look at myself in the mirror, and then I look at a picture of a chimpanzee, a gorilla. We have similar features. So maybe, 1 + 1 = 2. So maybe the monkey is my long-lost ancestor, right? I'm somehow linked, and my genealogy can be traced to the apes. And okay, then through time, through evolution, I'm become a human being. I'm actually basically a glorified monkey. That's what the world teaches, isn't it? These very, very clever men with all their intelligence. That's what they're saying. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, as the Bible says.
If we want true wisdom, just believe what God says. And we will be kept safe. No mistake. And we will be led in the right path. We are made in the image of God. The Bible tells us that God made us not a little higher than the animals, but a little lower than the angels. That's a great difference. So take note of this. And how about the Bible? Is the Bible true? Infallible, inerrant? We just believe what the Bible says. This miraculous book, this book that is called God's Word. No other book can be called the Word of God. Only this book. All other books from earth, this one book from heaven, from God Himself. The very words of God are here. That's what it says about itself. Psalm 12, 6 to 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has given His words very, very pure and perfect in the very beginning. And then He promised, all right, not only will the first generation, the original readers, have all of His words pure and pristine, but My word of God is to profit and benefit subsequent generations. So I promise to preserve My words pure throughout the ages, so that in every generation they can hear the good news and be saved. Good news in a bad news world. Until today. That's why you have believed. That's why you are here. That's why we know the truth, and we can be sure of our salvation. On the last day, the day of judgment, when Jesus comes again. And then Matthew 5:18, Jesus says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. How can we say we don't have His words today? His words are lost. The Bible is full of mistakes. Not so, not true at all. You begin with faith in God's word, and you end with faith believing in God's word, you will be saved. But you begin to doubt, you begin to question, you begin to criticize, then you may end up like Ehrman, who says, I was a fundamentalist, but now I am not only a liberal, don't even call me a liberal, I'm an agnostic. He says, God cannot be known. But he says, I know this one thing for sure. It cannot be. If there's a God, it cannot be the God of the Bible. It cannot be God of Christianity. How foolish, how contradictory can you get? It only proves that this so-called God's problem is really man's problem, Ehrman's problem. May we not end up like this. He says he was born again. I don't think he was born again in the first place, because true faith will never cause you to question and deny God like this. Okay? Once you begin with faith, with true faith, you will continue on in that faith and end up with that true faith, which is enduring. True faith is persevering faith. True faith is enduring faith. Because God will persevere in you. God will preserve you. God has not only preserved His words, He will preserve the faith that He has given to you from beginning to end. And you'll never be lost. My sheep will hear My voice, Jesus says. They'll follow, and they'll follow to the very end. Deny self. Take up your own cross. Follow Me, and you'll follow Jesus unto the very end. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. May the Lord help us to live by faith and not by sight. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please help us, grant us faith, this important virtue of faith, that we will always believe on what Thou hast said in Thy words, as it is written, thus saith the Lord. How we thank Thee for Thy power, not only to inspire the very words of Scripture, but also to preserve all the words of Scripture to the last iota. And by faith, by the logic of faith, we can be sure of Thy words in our hands today. Help us, Lord, to preach the good news in this bad news world. And help us also to teach the whole counsel of God, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And we long for the day of thy return, a day of redemption, a day when you will take away all sin, all disease, all pain, all tears, when we will be rewarded with a glorified body that you have earned and gained for us by thy death and thy burial and thy resurrection on the third day. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remind us, O Lord, of thy grace, of thy goodness and thy love for us. And may we partake of the bread and the cup with thankful and grateful hearts. All this we ask and pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.